Making decisions in the dark can lead to some terrible consequences. I read of a man who was living in the days before electricity, and he was telling off, he was berating and criticising his hired help for taking a lantern to go and visit his girlfriend. He said to him, "What do you want to take that lantern for? You don't need no lantern. When I were courting, I never took a lantern." To which his hired help replied, "Well, yes, and look what you got." I don't know what your experience of life in the dark has been like. 2 years ago, we went on a trekking holiday in northern Thailand, which involved staying overnight in a remote Karen village, in a bamboo hut with no electricity and no gas. Once the light from the fire had faded, we really couldn't see anything. We were plunged into the deepest darkness I've ever experienced, with nothing but jungle and rice paddy fields all around us. It was especially difficult for Pete, who was experiencing a rather unfortunate attack of diarrhea. We slept in a hut with 12 other people, and exhausted from a hard day of walking, we fell asleep quite quickly, only to be woken up by the sound of Sheffield shouting loudly in the pitch black, "Mum, it's dark! Put the light on! Put the light on, Mum, it's too dark!" I said, "Chef, there isn't a light." Scrabbling around in the bag, looking for the cheap torches that we bought in the Thai market, which, needless to say, didn't work. Fortunately, the situation was redeemed when Pete pulled himself together enough to put on the digital camera, which gave us just enough light that we could pull ourselves together and adjust to the darkness. To be scared of the dark, and maybe some of you are sometimes, and to be stuck in a dark place makes us realise just how precious light is. Before light, Genesis tells us that the earth was formless and empty and dark. But in that place of darkness, the Spirit of God was present. And that's worth remembering if you're in a bit of a dark place in your life at the moment. The Spirit of God is still there, still present. Anyway, in the midst of this formlessness, this darkness, suddenly, in response to God's word, light appeared. And life has, quite frankly, never been the same since. One word from God, and the whole world looked different. It was light that enabled mankind to distinguish between one day and the next. It was light which illuminated the difference between the sky and the sea. It was light which showed up the land. It was light that made the vegetables grow. It was light that made photosynthesis take place. It was the light that showed Adam the difference between the anteater and the antelope, so he knew what to call them. It was the light that empowered the first of the human race to organize, sort out, categorize creation. Without light, what kind of chaos would we be trying to keep control of? In fact, it is no wonder that God said, "The light is good." Because light brings order. It's the light of creation that allows us to see something of the goodness of God towards each one of us. From the very first moments of time, God has allowed us to see where we're going, to appreciate the beauty of the earth, to find order in the pattern of days and nights, of seasons and of centuries. Light, made by God, is a good thing. In fact, it's no wonder that the Bible is full of images and references to light. From Genesis to Revelation, which you'll all be doing in the next year if you're following the Bible reading plan, the image of light is used again and again. From the pillar of fire, which gave light to the Israelites, which we read about in the book of Exodus, right through to the references in Isaiah about the people walking in darkness seeing a great light, Then into the New Testament, we read of Jesus, the light of the world. And later, in Thessalonians, how we are all sons and daughters of light. We can be in no doubt that light is necessary, not just for our physical survival, but for our spiritual survival as well. When I was a teenager, I had a gothic period in my life. It was quite frightening. I dyed my hair black. I had a lot of black eyeliner. I used to paint my face white. I wore black everything, and a lot of it with tassels. And I used to hang around in the graveyard in Whitstable. I don't know if you've ever been to the graveyard in Whitstable. It's not the best graveyard to hang around in. For a while I was having dark thoughts, I think now you'd probably say I was depressed actually, but I used to hang around there having dark thoughts, and I preferred being in that dark place. It's a worry, isn't it? I have moved on. Even a quick look at the newspaper, even a quick look at the television helps us realise what John wrote in his gospel is true. Light has come into the world, but sometimes the people prefer darkness. Gun crime, abuse, fraud, white-collar crime, credit crunch, all of those things show us that sometimes we prefer darkness. Global darkness in the form of poverty, injustice, slavery, genocide. All those things are quite daily viewing, aren't they, on the television. And closer to home, we know that our thoughts and our actions sometimes are a little bit dark. In fact, the more I've thought about this week, I've been quite shocked by some of the dark and uncharitable thoughts that I have towards other people. And I've been quite shocked by that. The darkness doesn't come from some external manipulative force. Often the darkness is inside us. It comes from the Prince of Darkness, who's trying to draw us away from the light of God. It's very easy to look around at other people, to look at other situations and think, oh, that's not good. It's more of a challenge to look inside and think to yourself, where do I need God's light to illuminate my life much more? Part of what it means to be sanctified is about allowing the light of Christ to shine brighter inside us so that we can be changed from one degree of glory to the next. Sometimes allowing that to happen is quite a painful process, and we can hide away from the light. It can feel just a little bit uncomfortable. It can be like coming out of a dark room into a place of brilliant sunshine. Coming into the light, coming into God's presence, will cleanse us. It will change us. The Bible tells us that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness won't overcome it. And as I thought about that this week, I thought of a great story which will illustrate for us a little bit more just how the light can shine in the darkness and shine even into the darkest heart. One day, a man called Saul had just about enough of a new group of people who called themselves Christians. They believed in a man called Jesus, and they told everybody that Jesus had risen from the dead, that Jesus could give them a new start and forgive them for the past. They were even telling people that the Jewish laws weren't quite so important, and that what really mattered was following Jesus. It quite made Saul's blood boil. How dare these Christians be telling people things like this, trying to stir up trouble in the Jewish community? He would stamp them out if it was the last thing he did. Driven on by these intense and dark thoughts and feelings, he set out on a journey to Damascus. He's just getting ready. He was going to kill Christians. but he got the shock of his life. Riding furiously along the stony Damascus road, he was suddenly overwhelmed by a light from heaven. He fell to the ground. His hat fell off. And he heard a voice saying to him,
"Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?"
"Who are you?" said Saul. "I am Jesus," said the voice, "who you are persecuting." He was shocked. He got up, left his hat behind, and was led by his friends to meet a man called Ananias, who was able to introduce him to Jesus, the face behind the light. For Saul, this experience was the start of a whole new life. He turned away from his dark attitudes and his persecution of Christians, and he started to follow Jesus, who he'd encountered in the bright light on the road to Damascus. The moment was for Saul as significant and as defining as the appearance of light at creation. After his light-enriching moment, he changed his name and went on to spend a lifetime telling people how they could know the true light. His moment of illumination never left him, and later caused him to write these words: "And God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has made his light shine in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." Paul saw the light because the light shone into his heart. This was no intellectual appreciation of light. This was no scientific appraisal of particles and waves. This was a full-blooded, dramatic revelation of who Jesus was. So intense that it left him blinded, unable to eat, and staggering around like an invalid. The light transformed his heart. It pierced through his layers of religiosity, tradition, bitterness, anger, arrogance, and shone brightly into his heart. The light showed him the glory of God. And what is wonderful is that Saul wasn't even looking for it. He wasn't looking for the light, but the light found him. He thought he had enough light to live his life. He wasn't looking for a better way to live. But Jesus, who is merciful and compassionate, looked down, saw Saul trapped in his dark place, and chose to shine his light into a heart where nothing else could penetrate. And you know, he does the same for us. You might not be looking for light. You might feel that your path is already illuminated. You may have set out your lanterns for your life, your plans, your family, your friendships, your education, your career, your hobbies. You may feel you have all the lights you need to navigate along the path of life. But pretty and appealing as those lights may be, in comparison to the lights of life, they're like candles in the wind, easily snuffed out, and paltry in their ability to light up the darkness of your heart. But the good news is that Jesus is here, the light of life, the light of the world, the light that shines in a darkness and can never be extinguished, the light that blazed resplendent in the resurrection garden is a light that can shine in your heart. When the light shines in your heart, you're able to recognize the glory of God. And as you recognize the glory of God, you will see the face of Jesus. The light shines so that we can see the face of Jesus. Not just so we can see where we're going in life, although that's a help, but the light shines into our hearts so that we can recognize, understand, and know better who Jesus is. What other kind of light could you want? The light we need is the light of his face. The radiance that shines from his face is enough light for all of us forever. Do you have the humility to ask for God to shine that light into your heart? Do you have the courage to allow the powerful light of creation, the loving light of salvation, to sweep through your heart, purging the darkness and illuminating your way? Saul knew what that was like. He had that experience. I've had that experience. Many, many years ago, as quite a young person, I prayed and I asked God to shine his light into my heart. Now, you might have been sitting in this church for decades, but have you ever asked God to shine his light into your heart and to come and to transform you? And it's an amazing thing that the lights of creation wants to shine into our hearts. It wants to change us and make us new. Today, maybe you need the light to bring order into your life, as happened at creation. And the light can do that, can come and bring order. Maybe you need the light to cleanse you, to clean you up. Maybe you need the light to come and transform you. And I know without a shadow of doubt that Jesus can do those things for each one of us, if only we are humble enough and brave enough to ask him. And today, at the end of this service, if you feel that actually you would like to know more about what it's like to look into the radiant face of Jesus, if you feel that you would like to know more of what it is to have that light shining in your heart, then do come and talk to me, because I would love to pray with you. But let's pray together now. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you said, "Let there be light." That you ordered our world by separating the light from the darkness. And we thank you that just as in the story of what happened to Saul, you have the ability to shine your light into our hearts in a way that nobody else can. Lord, we ask that you will come and show us the glory of God in the face of Christ. Amen.